Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio Nate Wallace, who looks a little bit windblown. You were out there, Nate, welcome. You were out there at the opening of the Fred Meyer.
Yeah, braving the cold.
Cold.
Along and with like several hundred others.
Right. We did get a picture. Lee was able to get a panoramic picture, and we posted it to Facebook. So I was, of course, forced to stay here in the studio. I couldn't be out there. Much as I wanted to be, but I'm struck by the idea. I guess I knew we've been talking about this new store, et cetera, but a lot of individuals had to make individual decisions to go out there on a relatively cold and somewhat windy day. And how would you describe that crowd?
It was it's a cross section of Palmer. In the community, there was a lot of folks there. Inside, of course, Fred Meyer is a great partner, neighbor in the community. So inside, there was some internal with a ribbon cutting with the folks, their longtime associates.
Right.
So they took that time to recognize the folks that have been with our store here. It's our store here in Palmer.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of folks that you see every day when you go in and out. So it was nice to see some special recognition for them. They doubled the size of the employees. They basically hired another 100-plus folks to man that store. So it doubled the nice family that they have there by twice as what it was. So there was some recognition. They were also giving some community awards. I was outside, so I didn't see all that was going on inside. But our mayor and council represented the city inside for those festivities. I mean, even our library, they recognized our library and donated to the Friends of the Library, a $500 grant.
Okay.
So there's a lot of that going on inside today. And then not probably more than 10, 15 minutes ago, they actually opened the doors and let the crowds in. And what I didn't realize was they were giving away some gift cards. So there was a special touch there for the first, I think, maybe 100 or 200. I don't know what the advertisement was.
I would not want to be at that point where you said, you handed out the last card and said, no, not you. I'm sorry. That feels like, whoa, okay. But I also understand as happens when really any store. I know when Cars opened across the street there back a while ago, there are some specials in terms of incentive to buy or whatever.
Yeah, that's great. And I think the gift card is just a thanks to the community. Welcome to here. Because last night they called it a soft opening last night, but it was more of a reception. To allow some of the community to in. I don't know if they turned anybody away, but I mean, it wasn't the front doors weren't open, but it gave the city a chance to go in from our perspective to look around. There's probably a couple hundred, maybe 100 people in the store, plus their associates. But our police department can walk through and see where the exits were, look how the store was laid out with people in it. When you go into a facility of that size, when it's still a shell or maybe the shelves are there, you don't get a sense of what it's really like. So the shelves were stocked. They could see the sight line. So if something were to happen, we'd have to respond.
Right.
They'd have a good idea to lay out the facility. So that was last night. Plus it was a chance for them to show off their store. But walking around, looking at the shelves, there's a lot of specials that were, wow, I wish I had my shopping cart last night. So it'll be a good couple of days. And it's incredible. Also, we've been talking about the size.
Right.
It's going to be twice, 2.5 times the size of our store now. It just didn't hit me.
Until you're in there.
Until I was in there, how much difference that square footage makes. It's incredible. But my first thought was, I'm not going to have to go to Anchorage or Wasilla anymore. I can get it all here until my washer machine or refrigerator breaks down.
Well, and I think that I think that's a very important point. There, to me, there's also not only the reality, the physical reality of it, but there's a psychological impact when you're in a large structure such as that. I know that.
The downside was this morning when I was going from there to here, crossing the Glen. That is, it's different. I don't know that it'll change the nature much, but it is different going from Fred Meyer's crossing the street to get to downtown.
Right.
Before you walk out the door and
be there.
Basically in downtown.
Yeah, especially, say, from whether it's the town hall or downtown here, or in particular, my thought about it is the very interesting sort of co-location of the post office and the store. Mm-hmm. I can't count the times when I went to the post office, went to Fred Meyer's store, and I just walked across and did the other piece. I very often wouldn't drive over to the post office or walk over and then back and the rest of it. So that's, and I'm going to guess that'll be a continuing interesting discussion, both at the various committee levels in the city as well as at the council level. As what I've observed is there's been an intention to improve the walkability of Palmer.
Yes.
In fact, some of that came up on Tuesday. I had a couple of questions about Tuesday. I was there. And then when I was done, I said, I was there, but... So let's start with the easy thing, I believe,
yeah, which is the trail.
Well, there was some discussion about trails there, I think, on Tuesday. The larger trail effort that involved, in fact, the park down by the river or the land that's owned by a private party down by the river.
Yes, that. So the discussion, it was part of my report, so it wasn't any legislation that was going
right
on. So last October, the borough had a recreational bond on the ballot that passed. And people primarily, I think that's for pools. So the two pools.
Right.
But it also included the Brett, doing some work on the Brett Ice Arena in Wasilla.
Okay.
And then the I don't want to say the lesser known, but the less advertised part of that, in my mind, were the there's nine trails that were associated with that bond as well for improvement or extension or doing some work on trails. And one of those trails does pass through Palmer, directly through Palmer. That's the one that's, I don't know if it has a name. I'm not a big hiker, but I do get out and walk. But there's a trail system in the Kepler Lakes area.
Right.
And then there's a, I don't know if it's a social trail or an official trail that goes from Matanuska City to the river, and then along the river, that's where they want to improve, is along the river, so that it connects to the Butte bike trail, and then to the railhead trail, and then also to Fishhook. So part of that trail will go along or through city property, basically the airport, the golf course airport along that area.
Right.
And then there's a couple of ways they're thinking to connect that to the Mat River Park trailhead. So there is private property in that area. The city pursued at one time to purchase that, but we didn't have the full funding to do that, so we tabled it.
Okay.
So now with this project, the borough asked us if we were still pursuing that, and the answer was no, we'd like to someday. Well, they've shown interest in helping us to do that. If the city would take the lead, they would help support that with some funding to some degree, and they can do that through that bond.
Oh, very, very nice.
So as part of that trail, connecting that trail, it'll require some other parties besides the city and the borough to make this happen. So it's in the very early stages, but the city would like to see that go through.
And so it resurrects something that was deferred because of funding question. And and once again, points out that having a variety of partners can make this kind of thing work.
It does.
Yeah.
And there was, when we were pursuing it mostly by ourselves, there were other projects going on for land acquisition. That was about the time with the borough was going working with the Great Land Trust,
right,
to purchase the Butte. So that was a big project, and we didn't want to get in the way of that. But there may be some opportunity to partner there in the future. We just haven't explored that yet.
Okay. Well, thank you, because I this was one of the cases where I wanted a map, because I'm somewhat familiar with the trails, but the visual helps to be able to say, oh, okay, that's really there that we're talking about, and make that happen. The next question I had, still playing off Tuesday's meeting, an update on what was happening or what appeared to be the various scenarios, depending upon how the transition of the dispatch center went. Palmer, as I understand, and I'm going back and forth, I've been at the borough assembly listening to them talk about it, then over the council, but it seems to be on track, meaning that the dispatch services are going to be moved over to Wasilla And sometime, maybe in the middle of this year or thereabouts, that will happen. But not everything, if I've got this right, Palmer Police and Fire will still be, for at least a while, managed and dispatched out of Palmer. Or did I miss something?
Yes. So there's really, the borough dispatch for years has been in Palmer.
Right.
It's been, and Palmer has contracted to provide that service. And then Wasilla Police Department dispatched their own.
Right.
As a city. So all 911 calls would come into the borough dispatch, which was located in Palmer. So over time, it's just been called Palmer Dispatch. And it's really been the borough dispatch. But within the Palmer Dispatch, we also we dispatch our own,
okay.
Our own police,
sure.
Our own fire. So when we have this separation or transition or divorce or however, whatever term you use, as the borough transitions its portion out of Palmer to MATCOM or Wasilla, we will still retain, like Wasilla has, we will retain our own dispatch. We'll dispatch our own police.
Okay.
So the phone will actually ring in Wasilla when the transit is made, and then we'll transfer over to Palmer for anything that's inside the city limits.
Okay, I've got that.
So it's not much different than we operate now as the cities do, because the cities, Palmer dispatches its own and Wasilla dispatches its own.
Palmer will no longer be the contracted entity that handles
the borough.
Okay. Right. I always just like to be reminded of where the troopers are in all this.
The troopers they contract their own for their service, and right now their contract is with MATCOM and Wasilla.
Okay. So that'll all be concentrated over there.
Yeah. So when we say we'll have one there's been folks that say we want one dispatch. It gets us closer to that, but it's still, MATCOM will dispatch for both. The troopers could contract with somebody else when their contract is up in 5 years, and that's not for me to determine how that works, but it's, the borough doesn't dispatch for ASD.
Got it. Okay. That's clear. And there's still it's clear in that I know that over a number of months, there's been a variety of dates put out when this will actually happen. And my impression was that although everyone's getting closer to having a date that is agreed upon and is likely to happen, there's still a variety of questions about whether will everything be in place to make that happen. So we'll be still asking the question.
Palmer will continue to dispatch,
right,
for the borough until the borough is ready to flip the switch.
Okay, and then there'll be a date when it'll flip over, and presumably the users of the system dialing 911 won't notice.
They shouldn't, and that's the trick, is to make sure all the pieces are in place. So when it does happen, the end user, the citizen, when they call 911, there will be somebody that answers within 20 seconds.
Right. Okay. Very good. Well, then I noticed also at the Tuesday meeting a gentleman who had a long association with the city, former city attorney Jack Snodgrass, appeared. And he doesn't appear often, but he appears from time to time. And he spoke, and there was a relatively large number of people behind him that seemed to be interested in an ongoing discussion, if I put it that way, about a proposed development just south of Palmer Junior Middle School. And what I heard were two terms. One of which I was familiar with, density, and then the second term, intensity. So I quickly went and looked those up to see what they meant when you're talking about land use planning. I think I've got it. I've got it correct here. But I know that this involved an executive session and that happened at the end of the meeting. Was anything said after the executive setting or as a result of that, or anything that you can share about that process?
No, that was the executive session. I mean, there was nothing that came out after that. It was just information sharing between the staff and the council and just to make sure that everybody understood the situation. So it was planned unit development, as you mentioned, went to the Planning and Zoning Commission, which is the body that would approve or disapprove something like that. So that they made their decision. The decision was appealed to a hearing officer. The hearing officer made a decision, and then the next course for parties is to the court. So one of the parties has taken it to, has appealed it to the court here in Palmer. So it's basically now a lawsuit.
Oh.
So to make sure the city council is informed and get the council can provide direction to the attorney. And that's what that was. So it was information sharing. The executive session was.
Okay, because my understanding was that the suggestion was being made by the group of people was there that rather than continue the lawsuit, that it just go back to the Planning Commission for a review of the relevant guidelines. And you and I have just used the term, I've just used the term intensity, but maybe you could, for listeners who are not as familiar with it, what's the difference between something that's a guideline that deals with intensity versus density of usage of a piece of land?
You caught me unprepared on this one.
Okay, well,
which is unusual.
The density. You take density, so and I'll talk about intensity. That'll work.
Yeah. So our code is, and it's not always clear, and it's open to interpretation. So there is as Mr. Snodgrass pointed out, that there is a line that deals with intensity and density. So density is basically how much of anything you put into one particular area.
Mm-hmm. And my understanding of intensity, which took a lot of reading over a couple of times, intensity is something like, how many layers are you going to have in the building? How many floors are there going to be? It's going to be a 12-story building that's sitting on a small plot, so that it's actually, footprint is pretty small, but you've got 100 apartments on it because you put this tower up. And that's an intensity kind of thing versus the density of the structures relative to the open space that is on that piece of property. And at first I said, and then I began to realize, well, yeah, that's interesting because it speaks to the question of, which has been discussed a lot, are open spaces important? If you have a plot of land that's 10 acres, you could have one building on that, but it could have 100 apartments in it.
Right.
And it could look like, well, you've got green space, but when you consider the number of people and perhaps the associated parking, et cetera, then it would be, whoa, that'd be pretty heavy duty. But in any case, it appears that it looks like the suit is going forward. It's going to the courts and da 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 da.
Right. At this point.
Okay. At this point. All right. Okay. Okay. Well, and of course, we're getting towards spring, and I'm guessing that the developer would like to begin doing stuff on the property, and this would presumably delay that process.
Yes and no. I'd have to. I mean, there's a time frame, and they aren't ready to build yet. They haven't been given the final approval. The plan unit development is a very it's an intense administrative process for one.
Okay.
Several reviews. So right now we're still in the initial approval phase.
Okay.
Once the initial approval is given, the developer has a year to come to the Planning and Zoning Commission with their final project, and this started.
Long time ago.
2015.
Yeah, a couple of years ago.
I think it's actually started before that. 2015, I think, is when the planned unit development portion came. They came, I think they had they brought forward asking that it be rezoned at one point, and that might have been in 2012 to 2014, somewhere in there. So this has been a long, long, intensive process, it's not done, obviously.
Okay.
And it's... construction wasn't planned to start I don't believe this spring either, because they don't have final approval. So it's working its way through the administrative process.
Right. Giving people in the neighborhood an opportunity to utilize what's available as a process if they have a different opinion.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's do the. I've saved the easiest one for last.
Oh, that was probably the hardest one. That's right. It's a tricky issue.
Okay, dogs.
Dogs.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, let's. Okay, let's.
That is an easy one.
Yeah, dogs.
We welcome dogs, and we love dogs in Palmer.
Right.
There's just certain places that it's not appropriate for dogs to.
Well, there are three words here: dogs, leashes, and signs.
Yes.
I think I listened to that and I watched that and the council made a good faith effort to deal with that with something which on the face of it seemed sort of simple. Maybe you could summarize.
Well, the conversation started with an ordinance change to deal with firearms in the parks.
Right.
The city was not in compliance with state statute, so we were adjusting our ordinance to be in line with state statutes, which basically says you can have firearms in parks.
Mm-hmm.
The city has always had an ordinance in place where you could not have firearms in parks. So we're in the process. That's what the process started, was changing that. And because it included the ordinance when it was brought forward with the changes, it included the part with dogs, which we were not recommended to change, but it was brought up during a council session during this council session several weeks ago that we don't address dogs in recreational facilities.
Right.
So the way our code stands, dogs are allowed in recreational facilities, which would be the MTA event center. That's really the only actual facility, but dogs have never been allowed in parks by code.
Right, but only baseball, some fields, baseball, football fields, occasionally somewhat signed, but not really.
Yeah, so it really comes down to signs. Not all our parks are signed to say no dogs allowed. We've had signs up on ball fields because it's a great place to take your dog on a ball field and let it run wild because it's a fenced-in area, but they aren't dog parks.
Right.
And the kids, some folks don't clean up after their dogs.
Right.
There's a lot that do, but having something like that deposited on the ball field where kids are running around,
sure.
Someone made the comment, sliding into the second base. I think it was Councilmember Hansen. Having an extra little lubricant.
Yeah.
And the same thing with in our parks. You don't necessarily, again, a lot of folks pick up after their dogs, but then again, some don't, or dogs may get loose and go into the parks. And leave a deposit in a sandbox or in the area. So for years, and I don't know how far back, I didn't check to see how long that ordinance been in place. It's just been no dogs in parks, no animals in parks.
Sure.
So the conversation came around to, if I'm walking my dog and I just want to stop by and see the kids playing ball.
And he's on a leash.
He's on a leash, which you can take your dog anywhere in the city on a leash, with the exception of parks.
But how about ball fields? How about the
so that's just it. So where's the line? Where's the line drawn? And do we really want to prohibit folks from taking their dogs to the bleacher areas? And there's some that will say no because there's still grass and kids warm up there, and kids that aren't playing are rolling around the grass. So that was what was driving most of that conversation. Was the perception is, do we want to say dogs aren't allowed, and the exception is except in these places, or dogs are allowed everywhere with the exception of these places? Well, when you look at the exceptions of either allowing dogs or not allowing dogs, our parks, the default is no dogs, and then we'll identify the area within a park that dogs are allowed.
Okay.
So it's the perception of saying the mean old city doesn't allow dogs, or it's a nice city, and we just don't want your dogs here. It's one way or the other. The area is still going to be the same. We don't want dogs inside our baseball fields. We don't want dogs inside our parks.
Right.
And I keep referring to dogs, but if you have a cat on a leash or a pot-bellied pig or whatever your pet, domesticated pet is, but we really don't want it in the play areas.
Right.
But there are areas around our parks. The baseball or the soccer fields.
Oh, sure, yeah.
We don't necessarily want the dogs on the soccer fields, but there's
people come to watch.
There's
open.
A picnic area.
Yeah.
There's areas surrounding it that the dogs So, should be welcome.
So remind me, because I watched kind of the voices got lower and how did it all end? It's still in process.
No, it's done. They approved the ordinance, and they approved it the way it has been written for years.
Okay, so they didn't make any changes.
No, they started to go down the road, but then the changes affected other lines because of the except or with exceptions. So the way it was written is the default is no dogs, and then except, and there's four exceptions. One is for service dogs. The other exception is where there are signs that say you can have a dog or animal, and then the other one is for permitted use. So if somebody wants to have a dog show, they get a permit for a dog show.
So does this imply, though, this is why I thought it was unfinished in terms of application, that there will be new signs that will point out areas where you can have a dog?
So the policy has been set.
Okay.
So now the administration, it's now my job is to make sure that we have a mechanism in place so that when the police officer sees a dog somewhere that's on city property, it's clear that between the officer and the person with the animal that they are doing the right thing. So signs are the next piece. So the council doesn't
need to figure out the size and shape and color and placement.
They've set the policy, and now we will put signs up where appropriate so that folks aren't confused. So it'd be a combination of signs of dogs are allowed, which we don't typically have dogs are allowed here. I think we may have somewhere, but the next step is to put up signs that say you can have your dog here.
Keep your dog on to the right of the sign.
Yes. There's places to do that. So it's not something Palmer's.
We started this conversation by pointing out that there are number one, Palmer is a dog friendly city.
Yes.
has to be, because everybody pretty much has a dog. I mean, there are probably more people that have dogs than don't, in my experience.
Yeah.
And there are a lot, and so when you have that many dogs, you have to accommodate that they're not all going to be kept in their yard or in the house. They're occasionally going to go outside a lot of the time,
yep,
taking walks. And so this may be maybe the opening of a continuing discussion later on about such things as dog parks, mm-hmm, and so on. So I am glad this is in your capable hands, and the staff will work this out. Well, I have to say that this is amazing. It was a wonderful day today. Appreciate you coming in after being at the opening of Fredmar. Any last comments before we finish up?
Well, we do have two new fire trucks, long awaited. Our aerial truck is here in town.
And yes.
If folks want to take a peek at it, we can't run it up and down the road with the lights flashing to announce that it's here.
Right.
But it is parked in the new Fredmar's parking lot as part of their grand opening celebration. We didn't want to take away from their events this morning, but if folks want to drive by and see that new aerial truck, it'll be extending the ladder and swirling around later this afternoon. It'll be there all day.
But well, wonderful.
Want to see that. It's here. It's ours. It's Palmer's. And in another week or so, it'll be parked downtown in the fire station.
Well, I want to thank Nick Wallace for coming in for another edition of Inside the City. Wonderful discussion today. It was kind of it was fun. It was fun. I should open a new store every day, I guess. I don't know how to say that. So we'll see you at the store or see you around town.
Yes.
Okay. Take care now.